Hello and welcome. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemechek, and we are continuing unpacking this wonderful book on the spiritual gifts for today, meant for all baptized Christians, called Lord, Renew Your Wonders, Spiritual Gifts for Today by Damien Stain. We are mopping up the subject that we were talking about, which is praying for the gift of the discernment of spirits. Discerning spirits is being able to tell when things are occurring naturally or when there is some form of a spiritual push in a direction or another. In an extreme form, discernment of spirits, of course, is always available and the best and better to have in situations when we're praying for people who need deliverance from evil spirits. Okay, we touched on the different levels of oppression and temptation that can be offered by evil spirits, starting from temptation, which is the mildest form, going through affliction, which is what some of the saints experienced, oppression, obsession, bondage, and then finally possession. Of course, possession is what is reserved for exorcists appointed by the bishop of the diocese to address. But that doesn't mean that as Catholic baptized spirit-filled laity, we are not competent to at least try to pray for the gifts of the discernment of spirit so that we might be used if it is necessary. We also talked before, last time, about the need for deliverance, which is kind of emerging in our culture more and more as our culture strays away from the law of God, from Christian ethos, from morality, and ends up opening a lot of doors to things that didn't used to be able to come in, but now they come in. So we went through those various levels. We talked about the word of command. We're just going to talk a little bit about the various models. You may have read books. You know, a lot of people are very affected by the famous books by Father Gabriele Amort, called An Exorcist Tells His Story. I think he actually even had a sequel to that. There are a few other books that are put out by exorcists, but I would invite you all not to really focus on that kind of stuff. You could read one or two books, but I wouldn't, because I think there's a certain unhealthy way in which we can kind of obsess about stories and is this happening to me or is this happening to somebody else I know. I think that as in all things, it is best to keep our eyes on Jesus, to develop a personal relationship with the Lord, to read the lives of the saints, to read good spiritual readings, read the scriptures, and then to equip ourselves with that kind of literature if we need it. You know, should a need arise, I think that's probably the best way. And so he's offering various approaches in how to pray for, as Christians, as laity, and how to pray for people who exhibit this kind of, you know, everything from possession to at least bondage. He offers what, about a couple, two, three various models. One is from a Carmelite theologian and professor in Dublin, Ireland, a professor of theology and philosophy. The author makes it clear that this model is not proposed as a model for all. He says, I am addressing people who have a powerful, acknowledged deliverance ministry. This is a charism of deliverance. They will know other ways. So basically, not all of us are going to have a charism of deliverance. The Lord is going to show you in your life, if you are open to it, if you are going to be used in that way or not. But that does not mean that we can't, however, as regular people, pray for deliverance when it smacks us in the face.
Well, he even says this, where he says that he's agreeing with the church fathers that the power to drive out devils is a spiritual gift available to all sincere praying Christians who are living good lives.
Amen. So the prayer of praise, the prayer of protection, scripture, intercession, and prayer for healing and deliverance. This is a good model. It's got five steps. Always begin with praising the Lord. Always begin with acknowledging his lordship. Always begin recalling all the great things that he has done for us. Then you pray for protection. I think that's interesting. Not everybody who prays over people thinks of praying for protection. I have gotten to where I pray for protection every time I pray with somebody, even if it's not obviously for, you know, deliverance or something like that, because there are opportunistic spirits and you may not know that they're there. And if you don't protect yourself, they may want to come and hitch a ride. So I think it's very important to always pray for protection for ourselves and for those around us. And we pray in particular that the person to whom we are ministering may be protected and they will not to come any harm because of our ministry. Three, we pray scripture. There's power in the word of God against all evil. We read God's word to strengthen the faith in the person that we're praying with, but also to strengthen our own faith. And then Amen. We pray for intercession. We invoke the Blessed Virgin, the angels, the Michael the Archangel, and the saints to intercede. We recall the power of the Eucharist. I mean, you know, basically we unleash the turbo power of the church on this situation. And then finally, after we've done all those steps, we go in and we pray for healing and deliverance. So I think it's important to acknowledge those things first.
And he also says that when you're doing this, they present themselves as weak and helpless in ourselves, but mm-hmm. strong in faith and in the name of Jesus. That's what it's all about.
Amen. And then finally, when the person is set free or there is improvement, then we pray a prayer of blessing that will invoke God's love and power in the Holy Spirit. Because you can't just that's a beautiful story. Well, it's kind of a scary story, too. Matthew 12:43, where Jesus talks about a person who's delivered of seven spirits. But if you don't fill that area, that vacuum that has been vacated by the spirits with the Holy Spirit of God, so a life of commitment towards the Lord and towards his church, you know, growing in holiness, etc., they're going to come back in and bring their friends, as he says, right? He goes right. and brings with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. So this is why this priest says we must always pray a blessing prayer that will invoke God's love and the power of the Holy Spirit on the person. A prayer for baptism in the Holy Spirit is very appropriate. So, and he said, and this whole model from praise through prayer of protection, scripture, intercession, prayer for healing and deliverance, and prayer of blessing could take about 10 minutes. So I think it's very important because, as always, it's not the amount of time. It's calling upon the Lord, and he does it, right?
Right.
Then there's a deliverance prayer model, another one that you and I are familiar with. It's the Unbound Method by Neil Lozano. We do recommend this book, Unbound, A Practical Guide to Deliverance. I like it because it's very low-key. It's a very safe, loving, effective model of deliverance prayer that helps people to respond to the good news of the gospel and apply the truths of their lives by using the five keys. And I know that this book has influenced me so much that I really very rarely pray over somebody or even through myself, pray for myself, without going through at least one version of the five keys to inner deliverance and healing. I think it's very important. The first key, repentance and faith. Always repentance and faith. We should surrender. We should ask where it to Lord to bring up. Is there somebody we're not forgiving? Is there somebody that we're holding in bondage through our resentment, bitterness, etc.? Key two, forgiveness. If we want to be like Jesus, we need to forgive from the heart. And then, you know, you and I know Nancy and Lloyd Greenhaw, country
yes.
coordinators for Renewal Ministries in Ann Arbor, who have ministry all over the world, especially in Africa, especially in Rwanda. And I will never forget the story of them leading people in Rwanda after the genocide. So with members of both tribes in the room, the Tutsis and the Hutus, in the room together, leading them through forgiveness and the fruit that this model really had. So we pronounce forgiveness in a specific area. Expressions of forgiveness are most powerful when they are specific and rely upon the power. It's always good to speak out loud, and it's good to be specific. Three, renunciation. I renounce the spirit of fear. I break its power and I send it to the feet of Jesus. It's a very, very simple prayer. In the name of Jesus, I renounce fear, anger, the lie that I don't belong, whatever it is. In this key, we renounce the lies and deceptions that have been buried in our hearts and thoughts. Again, this is stuff that I've done fairly recently. Just for various reasons. Key four, authority. We have authority over our enemies. I know what we feel disenfranchised, probably as American Catholics sometimes. We feel like nobody wants to listen to us, nobody cares. But in the end, as baptized Catholics, we have the authority. In the name of Jesus, I command any or every spirit that I have renounced to leave me right now. So what I like about the Unbound Method is that it's gentle, is that you're leading the person to speak and they do the speaking. They do the praying. They effectively come up to the plate and start renouncing ways in which they haven't forgotten, and they renounce, etc. So in the name of Jesus, I command any spirit I have renounced to leave me now. And then finally, the Father's blessing. That's the fifth key.
We have both been through this exercise,
yes,
without bounds. So we can,
yes,
we can speak to it and really say how effective it is.
Mm-hmm. With the fifth key, we listen to receive his blessing and we are healed. To be free means that the obstacles to the gifts that have been waiting for us are removed, and the Father's love and affirmation are made real to us in Christ. So that's very important. Those five keys. Look up that book. It's Unbound by Neil Lozano. Unbound. Let me just pause here before we go on to the next model. I think it's important because you may have people out there saying, now, wait a minute, did these ladies have evil spirits? You know, Mary Lou, did you and I have evil spirits? But I don't think we had evil spirits, but I think we, just through the process of living and through being wounded by our relationship with other people or by circumstances or whatever, even the holiest person is going to have areas of weakness in their life in which the evil one likes to poach. I'm not saying he's dwelling there, but I'm saying that we have areas of weaknesses in which we are not what God wants us to be. And oftentimes it comes from past hurts, from past sin, from stuff that's just happened in the past. And we might present a good front. We might be perfect in the parlor and the entranceway and the kitchen, but way back in the down the hallway, we're a mess of our lives.
Right. And well, it's carrying that. It's getting rid of that baggage that we've been carrying around that was,
yeah,
totally unnecessary.
Exactly.
And it really is having experienced it, I can truly say that I believe in the system. And anytime that's available to someone, I would say take,
yeah,
advantage of it.
Oh, absolutely. And many times. I mean, you know, it's not like you say, well, I went through it once. No, you should go through it a lot.
Yeah.
Because there's always layers. Even just, I'm thinking about silly examples. Like I remember praying over somebody or hearing a story about somebody praying over somebody about, I forgive Miss So-and-so in third grade who called me stupid. You know, I renounce the power of low self-esteem in my life that came from that episode. I forgive her, and I believe that the Lord has blessed him, you know, that kind of stuff. So it doesn't have to be some big, huge demonic infestation thing. It's just what the Lord is asking us to do to get fit and to get clean.
Right.
Right. So anyway, The Unbound, you can tell that's the one I kind of like the best. Neil Lozano, Unbound, A Practical Guide for Deliverance, because we all need resolution and being freer than we are right now. You know, I think that's just the way it is. And then there's the third prayer model, deliverance. And this is from Francis McNutt of Christian Healing Ministries. He was the first one really in the Catholic realm to talk about this stuff way back in the 70s. He was a pioneer in the field of praying for healing, just healing, physical healing or spiritual healing. But he also is quite the expert about praying for deliverance from evil spirits, because they said two seem to go hand in hand. So in his model, we have six steps. One, in the name of Jesus Christ, we cast out these spirits, not by our own authority, but the power of Jesus. And then remember the word of command. I command. It is no polite request to make of evil spirits. You don't say, please. That's one of the right? That's one of the,
yeah,
few occasions in our lives in which we're not supposed to use our manners. We don't. Yeah. We shouldn't be any doubt or hesitation in our voices. Believe fully in the authority of Christ to drive spirits out. It's true that we can't do it, but Jesus can.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then you name the spirit. Identify the spirit by name. Four, depart, obviously. Get out of here. Five, without doing harm to the name of the person, without attaching yourself to the house or to the family, without making any noise or disturbance. There have been times other people have been attacked or even entered by the spirits they leave. And that's why it's important for the prayer for protection. That's very important. And there's actually a prayer of cutting free after we pray with somebody, which I have prayed also several times, from any kind of evil influence or anybody wants to take a ride or anybody wants to take advantage of my weakness. And finally, I command you to go straight to Jesus Christ to dispose of as you will. Furthermore, I command you never to return again. So there you have some language set out in chapter 6 of this book, Lord, Renew Your Wonders, some models. It is always best to do this kind of ministry, at least in pairs, which should be of mixed gender. Never pray with somebody by yourself in a closed room of the opposite sex. I think that's wise. A deep and regular life of prayer and fasting is very important for all those regularly engaged in this ministry. So don't fear it. What's the bottom line? Let's not fear the demons. Let's not fear evil influences in our lives. But let's take authority and get free. Doesn't that sound good?
Well, the deliverance prayer models are to be used in our prayer life each and every day in many ways. So, you know, we always want to pray for intercession, for healing. We're always going to start out our prayers with praise. We're always going to be praying for protection. So, you know, these are helpful hints for us to concentrate on each day.
I think a related chapter to this getting free is the prayer for inner healing. I remember in the early days of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, it used to be called the healing of memories, but it's about the same thing. You know, just growing up in the world, we're going to get wounded. We all have wounds. We all have things that happened. I think it's important that that we understand that through the hands of those skilled and anointed by the Holy Spirit, a truly profound transformation can take place that is far beyond the natural powers of normal counseling and therapy or any well-developed human process. I mean, how many people do I know or you know who are in therapy or have been in therapy or have been in counseling for years and years and years and years? And I'm not saying that's not necessary, okay? I'm sure we do, you know, there are people who really do need it. We need it, whatever we need, you know. But sometimes you just keep going and there's no progress being made. And sometimes the progress that's being made could be speeded along through understanding past hurts in the light of the Holy Spirit, asking Jesus to be present there at that time. For instance, let me just give you an example. I had a very hurtful conversation with a loved one not too long ago, and it was very wounding and I was very hurt. And the next day, I remember being in adoration and just praying, praying that the Lord would you know, take away this hurt. And I remember my training in praying for inner healing for people and healing of memories, and I imagined Jesus there while I was receiving this hurtful conversation. Because that's the whole point. You see Jesus, you go back to the traumatic moment, even if it was 30, 40 years ago, and you know that Jesus was there, and you picture him there physically, helping you receive whatever this was, you know, helping you in this situation. And that, I must say, the minute I did that, the feelings of hurt departed. The feelings of, you know, all the bad feelings that came out of this very painful incident just left. They were lifted. So let me just tell you that there is something to this. There is something to going back and picturing Jesus with you during hurtful moments, which is kind of a way of doing, this is the way I learned how to do inner healing. If Michael Scanlon, Father Scanlon, who is dead now, but God bless him.
God bless his soul.
Said, inner healing is a healing of the inner man. By inner man, we mean the intellectual, volitional, and affective areas commonly referred to as mind, will, and heart, but also include emotions, psyche, soul, and spirit. John Wimber, early pioneer in the days of the Vineyard, wonderful Protestant movement of the life in the Holy Spirit. I define inner healing as a process in which the Holy Spirit brings forgiveness of sins and emotional renewal to people suffering from damaged minds, wills, and emotions. And you know what? That includes all of us.
It does.
Because until we are perfected in the life to come, we are going to be walking wounded. That's just all the way. That's all the way there is. Let me give an example. He was praying over some guy, a young man. He sought prayer. The minister, after inviting the Holy Spirit, received an image of the father, of a man's father, opening his eyes and welcoming his son. Again, that is in conjunction with a word of knowledge, with a prophetic. I mean, you see how these spiritual gifts work together. He prayed, he received an image. This had been a real event in the young man's childhood, but had been buried under negative experiences. The image touched something very deep in the young man, and he wept profoundly. And from that day, a pattern of conflict with his father completely disappeared. Another example, at a conference, a word of knowledge was given that there was a woman present suffering from depression who had been abused as a child, who tried to kill herself 3 times. And who still struggled with suicidal temptations. As soon as she heard this, the woman knew the word of knowledge was for her. At the end of the service, she came forward for healing prayer. When she arrived, she looked like she had a black cloud weighing on her head. The sexual abuse had caused a very deep depression, which she had been suffering from for years, in which she was on high level of antidepressants. They invited the Holy Spirit, led her through a period of a short prayer of forgiveness, encouraged her to remain in Jesus' presence, and to say the words, "I am loved. Amen." She seemed to withdraw herself into herself and didn't want to say it. You know, when they shake your heads and they can't say what you are trying to lead them to say, that is the truth, "I am loved, Jesus is Lord," etc. You know, there's a problem. But they insisted, "Say, I am loved. Amen." And then with such a terrible cry of brokenhearted pain came from her that she could not finish a sentence. But she kept repeating it, and then she kept saying in a louder voice, again and again and again and again, "I am loved. Amen." They brought the prayer to the close, told her that when she felt better, she should go to the doctor and have them take him off her medication, and she did. Basically, he received a letter from her that she had gone to confession for attempting to kill herself because of mental anguish at the conference. And then after prayer, she was filled with joy. And for the first time in a long while, she woke up singing, "And the dark cloud and cluttered negative thoughts all lifted off me as if someone had switched on the sun in my head. My heart was lighter and something dark had lifted from me." So obviously that's inner healing, but there's also some component of demonic interference there, right? Because every time there's a dark cloud, every time there's something like that, it may have chemical or psychiatric or psychological reasons, but also you know that the devil is there taking advantage of it, right? Coming in and maybe goosing it to a higher level. So we talk about emotional wounds. We talk about the inner healing process can be a result of seeking prayer and then being helped by someone with skills and anointing in this area. It can also happen through a prophetically inspired word, as with that suicidal lady. And it can happen simply by being in the presence of God's power and a healing or Holy Spirit. So basically, inner healing can happen gradually. As people come regularly for regular prayer, their hearts are healed by the unfolding presence of the Lord. At other times, inner healing can be a simple process of ongoing forgiveness. You know, wake up like Jeanette Benkovic said at that conference. "I can't even bear to think about forgiving this person. I can't even bear to think about forgiving, to think about thinking to forgive. I can't bear to think about think about. Basically, she goes back 4, 5, or 6 times. Am I going to think about thinking about thinking about thinking about thinking to forgive somebody? It describes a pretty strong reluctance to forgive. But the minute you can pray a prayer, "Lord, I can't forgive right now, but can you please help me? You know, I want to be open to forgiving," then he will take and work whatever you give with him. So common elements of, go ahead.
Going back to the lady suffering from depression, and in today's world, that seems to be something that is becoming more and more prevalent among young people, especially. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is very helpful, that we should always, in our inner relationships and friendships and, you know, being around people that keep our antennas up for those that may need prayer, to recognize, mm-hmm. you know, because how is this going to work unless we recognize sometimes people that may need this, that we can always offer ourselves to them to pray with them.
Amen.
You know, this is everyday life. This isn't just, you know, the church ladies at church inviting right. people in saying, "Come on." You know, this is people that are related to us, that we work with, that, you know, we run into, whatever the case may be. This is something that needs to be at the forefront of you know, our prayer life.
That happened to me with another loved one. I was on the phone with them the other day, and I'm saying this to illustrate that you need to be open to the Lord speaking to you in situations, even in the ones that you know, you're so wrapped up because you're so personally involved, perhaps in the life of your siblings or your children or your spouse or whatever. I was on the phone with a loved one the other day, and they were so depressed and so angry and so hurt and so negative that finally I sensed there was a demonic push there somewhere. And I think I freaked them out because I said, "I'm sorry, just hang on a second. I'm going to pray for a second." And I rebuked the negative spirits that I felt oppressing this person in conversation. And I did it like I was in the parking lot outside of a restaurant, for God's sake. I mean, waiting to get in to go to my table. But I just felt this impulse that to rebuke those spirits, because I could feel through the phone how weighed down this person was.
That's a perfect example.
Let's be open to that, guys. What's the worst that can happen? They already know. They already think you're a fanatic. They already, you know, I mean, those ships probably have already sailed. So, you know, why not step in with the freedom of exercising the gifts?
But you know what? That person allowed you to do that. They recognized you as being sincere in what you were doing. And they were, at that moment, they were open to that. And that's what we can't miss those opportunities.
No, exactly. So common elements of inner healing before we end our show. We need to recognize the ownership of an unhealthy or harmful pattern of thought, emotions, or behavior, which I'm sorry, everybody has. Everybody has that. I'm stupid, or I'm not bright enough to do this, or I'm too impatient to do that, or I'm too, you know, whatever. I'm talking about personal stuff, you know, or even ways in which we hold other people bondage. You know, you're no good at doing that. I'm better at you than doing that. You know what I'm saying? Just ways in which we can be held hostage of these kinds of patterns of thought, emotions, and behavior that can derive from kindergarten. I mean, they can derive from way, way back or from yesterday. We need the discernment to know what the roots of the problem are. So like trying asking the Lord to reveal past events, either real or perceived. We need to forgive others or ourselves. Forgiveness is a decision that may not be accompanied by feelings of forgiveness. A lot of people say, well, I don't feel like I'm forgiving that person. Well, you know what? Forgiving is like agape love, is a decision. And you do it in obedience to the Lord, and the Lord will give you the grace to do those things.
Exactly.
So you need to repent of any way that you've held on to burdens of guilt and shame. Sometimes, you know, we're afraid, so we hold on to what we know best. We need to identify the event and then with a word of knowledge, pray privately or, you know, just address that thing. It could come by way of a memory or a revelation given by the Holy Spirit to the individual or another through a word of knowledge. We need to have a release of emotion. Sometimes we have pent up, you know, my go-to emotion is if something's hard or something's difficult, I cry. You know, the other day in the confessional, I had a big boo-hoo because the confessor, through the power of the Holy Spirit, had addressed a couple things in which he saw me not forgiving a certain person. And I was called to account, and it was great. I mean, it was hard, but it was great. And so sometimes the release of emission of emotions is what you need. Pent up anger, fear, sorrow, or loss are sometimes experienced. But you just need to allow them to happen so that you can then get rid of them. Like that poor lady who had such a hard time saying, I am loved, amen. And she couldn't say it. And then she was angry. And then she was, at the end, she was exhilarated. You know, you have to go through the gamut of emotions. An experience of God's presence and truth, erasing the root lie, and then a prayer for restoration, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and post-prayer direction. The root lie, painful past events send lying echoes through our lives, which skew our perceptions and cause exaggerated, inappropriate, or unhealthy reactions. I double dog dare anybody listening to this to deny that fact in their own lives. I think there's ways in which we just see that thing. Abuse embeds the lies, I am vulnerable, I am worthless. The trauma of a bad car crash. I experienced that. I was in a car crash, a long time ago, and my car was totaled. I mean, it was traumatic. I thought I'd shaken it off, but I remember that having for months an irrational fear of people coming, of wanting, you know, like somebody would turn into my lane, and my heart rates would speed up, right? I remember thinking, this person's going to crash into me, and it was not a logical feeling, right? So the related emotional pain or reaction sometimes feed on the root lie. Once this lie is overthrown by God's truth and love in a spirit of forgiveness, freedom comes. In this ministry, we witness in a powerful way how the truth spoken in love sets people free. So a model for inner healing, get into pairs, decide who. So again, great way to practice who will receive prayer and who will pray. The person receiving prayer asks the Holy Spirit to reveal to them areas that need forgiveness or healing. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring to mind something or some person from the past that needs forgiveness. It may be that some emotions surface. It's okay. Then when you feel that you can, say the prayer in the name of Jesus, I forgive so and so for this. And I pray that I may be released from all negative consequences resulting from the sin. I ask you, Jesus, to bless them with your joy, peace, happiness, and love. May they prosper in every way. Amen. Great way to forgive. Pray for the other person, even if you feel like you can't, right? And then finally, pray the prayer of blessing. Always pray the prayer of blessing at the end. So we've addressed the topic of inner healing in this show, and we hope that it is helpful to you. We ask you to research it, to look up into it more if it is something that you think you might be interested in. And we are always here for you as well. God bless.